Thank you, Lord. Amen. Please stand with me. We'd like to dismiss our children to Children's Church. They say that intelligence is defined by how few words people use. And so tonight I want to illustrate what a genius I am. It may not be a long message, so you have to listen quickly. Amen. So many times I've visualized, what was it like for Jesus to preach a message? Was he evangelistic? I think, in my estimation, there were people who just sat at his feet and he told them story after story, illustration after illustration that tugged at their heart and brought them right down to where they were living. And sometimes just a move of God's Spirit is so much better than all of the shouting in the world, especially if you're shouting about nothing. If I had to put a title, I would put God's Global Positioning. And sometimes people don't get anything out of the message, but they remember the title. I remember many, many years ago, I preached a message, and I said, don't just do something, stand there. And I remember Brother Bailey called me and said there was a conflict at work. It's a long, long time ago. And all of a sudden, this message came back. And when he wanted to retaliate, the title of the message came back, don't just do something, stand there. And of course, the opposite is true with most people. Just don't stand there, do something. But many times, because Jesus loved us so much, he didn't do anything. He just stood there and took it for you and me. Folks, I want to be more like Jesus. Would you turn to Genesis, the third chapter? Starting in verse number 6, familiar scripture. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and that they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, up until this point, they had no idea that they were naked, because I believe that there was a shroud of light that was around them, just like when we are raptured, I believe we're going to have shrouds of white around us, just like God provided animals with coverings and birds with coverings, he provided man. But when we sinned, the covering was gone, and we try to cover ourselves or hide our shame. And God said, that's not going to work. You're not going to be able to do that on your own. So the first shedding of blood was to cover man's shame. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. How foolish. How in the world can we hide from God? And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. The first time the word afraid is used in the Bible, because I was naked? No. Because of what I did. And I hid myself. Folks, we can't hide ourselves from God. He sees everything. Tonight, God's taking a roll call. He wants to know who's here and who isn't. I'm not talking about physically. I believe he's taking a roll call to see who's here spiritually. Who's naked? Who's covered? Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word. Touch it, make it alive. We're still grateful for what we're already feeling in this place. There's a power of your spirit here, and anything can happen during the preaching of the word. Lord, give us liberty, God, to experience you through your word tonight. It's in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So how many of you know where you are tonight? I'm not talking about 3045 Airline Road, Apostolic Faith Church, but where are you really? Because God knows exactly where you're at. There's a lot of people who think they know where they are, but it takes God to really show you where you are. We were told yesterday that we can no longer wear a wristwatch into the prison, and the reason for that is because of the new Apple Watch. Now, the Apple Watch has GPS on it. It has, camera and recordings, and you can do all of these things. So rather than just ban the Apple Watch, they're banning all wristwatches, and so no one can tell the time or where they're at when they're in prison. But do you know where you are spiritually tonight? That won't show up on your iPhone, it won't show up on your iPad, but it'll show up in the spirit. It'll show up in the preaching, it'll show up in the song service. It'll be very evident. It will locate you through all of the things that happen in God's house. Genesis 3 and 9 said, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" Now, when God asks the question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. Who do men say that I am? Like he needs somebody to give him some answers. God already knows the answer before he asks the question, but he's trying to identify, do you understand? Do you know where you are? come out, wherever you are. Amen. It's because he wants you to know where you are and what your condition is. And sometimes circumstances and even adversity are allowed into our lives so God can find out where we are standing, but more important, that you understand where you're at. Because sometimes you don't know what kind of condition you're in, where you're at spiritually. You haven't taken your temperature spiritually. But when you come up against circumstances and situations, it's real easy to tell. My grandfather used to say, you don't know anybody until you have a flat tire with them. You know, then the real person comes out. You know? Do you understand your condition? Do you know where you're at? Do you know why you do what you do? Let's take a look at 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. I've preached from this text 1,000 times, evangelistically speaking. 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. And starting in verse number 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all of the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. He left the praise because he was afraid. Many people will desert their worship because they're afraid. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." It has always amazed me when we have incredible services that somewhere just down the road, there's going to be some kind of an attack or something that happens to us that would cause us to be afraid or depressed. I can walk off of this pulpit just drained from feeling the presence of God, and there will be somebody that'll have a problem. I know it always happens because it's the tactic of the enemy in order to do that. And so he's saying, take my life. That's it. Here he just performed one of the greatest miracles that are recorded in the Bible, called down fire from heaven, slayed 450 prophets, and now he's saying, end my life. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink and lay him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. I want you to encrypt that sentence in your mind. This journey is too great for you. You can't do it. Even after this great worship service, even after this morning, the power and the presence of God and the gifts of the Spirit in operation, this journey is still too great for you. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. And he came hither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it. I know of preachers who have thrown up their hands and said, that's it. You know what? I have tried to do my very best and preach the word and be as faithful as I possibly can. But there are people who just will not live for God. And God told Jeremiah, don't look at their faces, just preach the word. You see, I'm not living for God because you're living for God. I have determined that I'm going to live for God if no one else in the world lives for God. I'm going to stay with the book no matter who does or does not stay with the book, you see. I know it's frustrating. You know, Moses never entered into the promised land because of rebellious people. Instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock, because he was so frustrated with the murmuring of people in the wilderness. And so God understood where he was. Now, most of us have heard this story many, many times. I once preached about it, how we run to a cave when we are threatened, and God wants us to come out of the cave where we are hiding. Adam, where are you? Elijah, what doest thou here? Why are you in the cave? Isn't it amazing how when we do something good that we want the entire world to know about it, you know? But when we do something wrong, we try to hide it, cover it up, or make excuses like, it was the woman you gave me. Even though no one knows, we somehow believe that everyone in the church knows exactly what's been going on in our life. And so the devil tricks us not to come to church because we're afraid that everybody knows our dirty laundry. Turn your Bibles to John, the third chapter. John chapter 3 and verse number 19. Jesus said, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You understand why people don't like us? Because we're the light of the world. And the things that they're doing that they already understand are wrong are exposed by the light when the light comes to them. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. So God's saying, you know what, there are people who just don't want to be a part of the light, but you are the light. The story of Elijah is just amazing, and each of us has been featured in it, if you will. Elijah's challenges all of the prophets of Baal, the false gods of this world. We're constantly challenging the values and the morality of this world, even though it's publicized over and over again. They play with their religious sparklers, and we bring out our dynamite. Amen. You know? They do their little acts, and it just seems like it appeases them. They talk about their miracles, but the signs are following those that really believe. No matter how loud they can cry and cut themselves with stones, their gods have been on vacation permanently, and there isn't anything that their morality, that their unrighteousness will bring to them. There will always be challenges with the false gods of this world. It demonstrates to the world who we really are, because we have substance rather than just conversation. Our challenges and our victories identify who the real church really is. If there's no challenges, then really we don't stand out as being victors, you see. 1 Kings 18 and 21 said, Elijah came unto all of the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, well, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word, because they were halting between two opinions. Is God real or isn't God? Is this really necessary for us to be here on a Sunday night and worship God? Is it really necessary to conform to the Word of God? Well, then if your answer is yes, then we ought to do what the Word of God says. We ought to be faithful. We'd rather not hide from our God. You know, when people won't respond to God's questions, won't worship, won't pray, won't come to his house, won't spend more and more time with him, but less and less time, then God sets up a challenge between Baal and his people. He's got to do it. You know why? He loves you. He's got to set up a challenge. Have you ever felt like you are all alone? You're the only one in your family who wants to serve God? That's how Elijah felt. Listen, I've been doing this. I've been faithful. I know I've seen the miracles, and you have seen the miracles. You've seen the great move of God every week to a certain degree. But still, the people within our lives can't understand what we're doing and why we're doing it, and that we are just a little bit off. And the only person at work who values the things of God is you. The person who brought you to the church isn't as strong as you are. That could be a problem. The people who brought me into the church are no longer in the church. They fasted and they prayed for me. They taught me Bible studies, and they're not around whatsoever. Joshua said in Joshua 24 and 15 to all of the people, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me, I don't care what you make, what your decision is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And each of us got to get to the place where we decide it doesn't matter. If you want to do that, that's fine. But as for me and my house, we're going to continue to serve God. It's the only way to go. Every one of us will get to the place in our walk with God where we are challenged to walk with God, even if everybody else won't walk with God. So, yes, we're a body of believers, but we also make up our own decisions. Glory to God. Let's turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, please. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11, it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." There are those people that are out there who are going to try to persuade us that these things that we endorse and espouse are not important. "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." So you have to understand your value in the body of Christ. Every part, every person is a part of what this congregation has become. Amen. And so God's way of saying, "Where are you and what are you doing?" is sometimes challenging us. So let the challenge begin. We have plenty of false prophets, plenty of Pharisees, plenty of people who claim to have the truth, so let's just see who has the goods. Amen. You know? People are wondering, yeah, you're talking like you're a Christian, but do you really have the goods? And I believe they believe that we do. It seems like when people really are in a dire strait, when they really need somebody to pray for them, when they really need a healing, somehow they find themselves coming to Apostolic Faith Church because they understand that we do have the goods. Now let's turn back to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. First Kings 18, starting in verse 21. Here's the challenge. "And Elijah came unto all of the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." Sometimes God has got to set up the challenge, a situation. You can talk to your parents over and over again, and now all of a sudden there's somebody sick, and the church comes through. "Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it, and call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all of the people answered and said, It is well spoken." Hallelujah. There's a difference from coming to church and having nothing happen and coming to church and having something happen. There needs to be a fire that comes down. Hallelujah. So, verse 25, "And Elijah said unto the prophet of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourself, and dress it first, and ye, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry loud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. The guy's bold, folks. He's bold. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any answer nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all of the people, come near unto me. And all of the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. See, if you really want God to answer, you got to do a little bit of repair. Amen. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. So we're looking at a big trench, and he put the wood in order and cut the bullocks in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it upon the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Now, you have to understand that there is a drought in the land, and 4 barrels of water was a great sacrifice. If you want fire to come down, I'm telling you, there has to be some kind of sacrifice. Of all of the services that I've been in over the years at General Conference, there is no greater move of God than at the Foreign Mission Service, because at the Foreign Mission Service, what they're doing is they're sending people out into other countries in order to propagate the gospel. But in that process, we're asking for offering in order to support those missionaries. And when you put those 2 things together, there is a power of God. And he said, do it the 2nd time. And they did it the 2nd time. And he said, do it the 3rd time. And they did it the 3rd time. And the water ran down about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass, as the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, 63 words, not a long prayer, not a great exclusive prayer, but he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all of these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all of the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. So there was a great move of God. There was a demonstration. And sometimes it takes a demonstration of God in order to cause people to make a decision for God. Here's a man of God who challenged not only 450 false prophets, but one of his greatest challenges were all of the people who stood around trying to make a decision. Do I or don't I want to serve the Lord? And sometimes that's exactly what happens in church services. People are undecided. But then there's a demonstration, and there can only be a demonstration unless there's a sacrifice and people who are willing to worship God. That's why it's so vital for us to do that. Called fire down from heaven with 63 words, killed all of the prophets, bold preacher, to protect the people from false doctrine is what he did. And when truth was restored, Elijah was able to pray down the blessings of God. There will be a drought in the land until someone will challenge the prophets of Baal. Someone will challenge the economy of this world. Someone has to challenge the values of what's going on at home and work and wherever you find them. We can't tolerate the prophets of Baal. They must know that there is one God and his name is Jesus. Amen. They need to know. There have been those times when we can take on any challenge. After a service like this, come on, just bring it on. You know, I don't care who approaches me at work. I don't care what the family says. You don't know who you are messing with because you're so full of the Holy Ghost. But then a Jezebel shows up and makes a threat about tomorrow. It's not the big challenges that get us. It's the little threats that seem to knock us off balance, the things that we least expect are going to happen that cause us to fall. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "The little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes." It's those little things, you see. Had Saul completely killed all the Amalekites, like God told him to? Well, at the very end, who kills Saul but an Amalekite? You have to kill the thing that you find sacred in your life. Well, I'm going to do everything, but this little thing, God, I that might be the thing that brings you down, folks. It's little things that sneak in on us and steal the joy, steal the peace that God really wants us to have. The enemy would have you to believe that you are too weak to continue, that no one sees what you have done to stand against all of the threats. They don't see your faithfulness, stood for righteousness when no one else would stand for righteousness in your family. Did good when no one else was around. The church didn't see it. The pastor didn't see it. I'm not getting credit for what I am doing. But you know what? God knows exactly where you are. He doesn't have to ask you where you are. You can't be hiding someplace. God sees you on a Saturday putting together a Sunday school lesson. God sees you driving someplace in order to teach just one person, sacrificing time and money and gasoline in order to do these things. But Jesus was standing right there to say, you know what, that's a good job. I will reward you. Elijah said, I am only remaining a prophet of the Lord. But God said in verse number 18, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal. Sometimes we think we're the only one who goes through these things. And God's got a lot of, you know, one of the reasons it's good to go to conferences, and I haven't gone to a general conference now for the last 3 years, but it's the hear about other people who are living for God outside of your own community. One of the reasons I love to go to camp is to see people worship God who have been challenged by the threats of Jezebel. You see what's been going on in their life. You get prayer requests all of the time. People who at one point felt like Elijah, who felt like they could go on. I just don't know if I'm going to make it all of the way. It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life. Then God sends an angel, and an angel touches them and strengthens them to go on. They have a little bit of ability by themselves, but God was saying, the journey is just too tough for you. If you think you can make this thing on your own strength, or by your own spirit, you're sadly mistaken, because you need to get to where Jesus is, because the journey is just too tough for you. They eat of the word of God and drink of the spirit of God. And the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And they were able to go on to another challenge. And from time to time, as I've gone to camp, I know Brother Grant, who has been our district superintendent for something like 17 or 18 years, has fought cancer I don't know how many times. And Brother Hook's wife has been so ill for the last 15 years. Sometimes they didn't know if she'd come out of the hospital, but she's gone through surgery. Brother Rex Johnson, one of the greatest preachers in our organization, his entire family was killed in an auto accident. And yet he's one of our great preachers. When I walk in here on a Sunday and I see a Sister Dombeck and a Brother Young and Sister Schumacher, the struggles that she goes through on a daily basis, you don't understand what she goes through. To walk in here tonight and see Sister Berg dancing before the Lord and what she has gone through. When I walk in here and see Sister Grueling worshiping against that door after losing her husband and still being faithful to the house of God. And when I see Brother Frank Bailey here with his arms up in the air and worshiping God, knowing what he's gone through. I'm thinking, God, if they can do that, if they can do that, if they can be faithful, God, I can be faithful. God knows exactly where you are. I come to church and I see those who have struggled over and over again. And God sees exactly where you are. And he's the one who wraps his arms around you and sends an angel. Because the journey is too great for us. Church, we need to stick together. We need to encourage each other. Because we can't live this by ourselves. You can't just show up every once in a while and get a little taste of Pentecost. You know what? This journey is too hard for you. God is asking someone here tonight, what doest thou here? You're not alone. God is here with you. God wants to help you through the most difficult time. Let me touch you one more time. Let me strengthen you. I understand where you're at. He's overcome the world. We have a high priest that is touched by the feelings of our infirmities and was tempted in all points as we without sin. And because of that, he said we can boldly come before the throne of grace in time of need. And I'm so grateful that people, like I mentioned, encourage me, because there's always going to be one of those down days, and I think of one of these people who have persevered and decided that I'm going to live for God. As for me and my house, we're going to live for God. What are the other options? There just aren't any. His disciples said, you know, there are people who walked away because you said some hard things. And Jesus said, will you walk away too? And his disciple says, where would we go? You have the words of truth. Paul said, have I become your enemy because I tell you truth? You see, this thing is just too valuable. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight?
Glory to God. Glory to God. There are a lot of people who have asked me when they find out I'm a pastor, where do you pastor? And I said, well, on Highway K, and well, which church? Well, the one with the pillars. And I am so grateful that I pastor a church with pillars. And I'm not talking about the white pillars out there. I'm talking about the pillars that are in here that are unmovable. Pillars that have strengthened this church because of their resolve and their faithfulness. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?